Hello and welcome to this Microsoft Learn Live event, Enhancing Your Azure Health Bot. My name is Adam Walker and I'm a Senior Product Manager and Team Lead in the Health and Life Sciences organization at Microsoft. I'm part of an engineering group that creates AI-based services for healthcare organizations. And with me are two very talented student ambassadors, Sharon and Megana. I'm really excited and pleased to be presenting with you guys. And why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Shreyan. Currently, I am pursuing my final year BTech in biomedical engineering from Manipal Institute of Technology. So I like to work in the domains of blockchain, artificial intelligence, and web development. I'm really interested into healthcare as well. So yeah, thanks a lot for getting me here.
Hello, everyone. I am Meghna, and I am studying biomedical engineering at Manipal Institute of Technology. I am passionate about technology, and I love learning new skills. And yeah, that's about me. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I'm really pleased to have you here. So just a reminder, this is a third session in a four-part series that follows along with the content of the Microsoft Learn learning path, all about Azure Health Bot. That learning path covers everything you need to know about Azure Health Bot, from the fundamentals and building your first bot, all the way to the more advanced and sophisticated topics that we'll be covering today. Now, this is a live and interactive session, so we're streaming on the Microsoft Learn Live TV channel, as well as the developer channel at YouTube. So please get engaged. We really encourage you to participate and to type in the chat and ask any questions that you have. We have moderators behind the scenes that will be helping us field these questions, and also we'll have a live Q&A at the end. Now, we will be following along with the content from the sixth Microsoft Learn module. So I would encourage you that after you've watched this session, and you follow along with the content, to log into aka.ms/learnhealthbot06 and to actually complete the learn modules yourself. And they will really help you get some hands-on practice and reinforce the topics that we'll be covering now. So the learning objectives for this first module are to learn about interrupting and breaking scenarios and what they are. You'll be learning how to author an interrupting and breaking scenario, and you'll also learn how to invoke those scenarios or trigger them at runtime in your bot. To make it clear, there are some prerequisites. This does build on previous modules that we've already followed along in this series. So previously, we created a simple Azure Health Bot that provided information about the types of services and the types of departments that are available at a healthcare organization. So now we'll be extending that same bot, and we'll be adding interrupting and breaking scenarios into that flow. We'll be creating scenarios that help with patient intake, so scenarios that can collect information about a patient's temperature and other vitals that might be needed to pass on to a doctor. So what are interrupting and breaking scenarios? It helps to think about natural conversation between two people. So typically when two people talk with each other, they will talk about multiple topics. And usually they don't talk in a structured sequential way. Usually they'll talk about one topic and then maybe shift to another topic, and maybe they'll go back to the previous topic that they were talking about before. So there's a very kind of natural flow of jumping between topics as and when the context requires it. The idea behind interrupting scenarios is we're trying to mimic that natural behavior that happens in conversation. And the way that we do that is we have a mechanism that tries to identify an interrupting intent. So it tries to identify when the end user is engaged with the bot, if they are trying to change the topic of the scenario that they're currently in. I'll drill down into a bit more how we do that, but basically, once that interrupting intent is identified, what it will do, it will trigger the relevant scenario, the one that, that the end user is trying to invoke. And then they're kind of like in a child scenario. And that same thing can happen again. So even within the child scenario, you could interrupt that scenario again. And what you get is a kind of cascading effect where scenarios are interrupting each other. And when you reach the end of a sub-scenario or a child scenario, it will roll back to the parent scenario that it was triggered from. And it will keep going back until it eventually reaches the original scenario, the original topic of conversation that they began with. And now, how are those interrupting intents identified? Well, it depends on the expected input. So when you build a scenario in HealthBot, you define a prompt and you also define the expected response type, whether it's a string or a number, or maybe there are a list of answers. And in those cases, if the response that the end user actually provides doesn't match the expected response, then the bot will try to, it will trigger the other language models and try to see if there is another scenario in a different context that matches the response that an end user gave. For example, if the bot is expecting a number, but the end user provides with a text response, is one example. So what is a breaking scenario? Well, really, that's just an extension of an interrupting scenario. So interrupting scenarios, when they complete, they go back to the parent scenario that they were invoked from. But sometimes in conversation, you just want to change topic completely. Maybe when the end user engaged the bot, they wanted to perform one task, but as they were going through that scenario, they decided actually they needed to do something else. So in that case, you might want to use a breaking scenario. It still interrupts using that same interruption mechanism that I described, but when the breaking scenario is complete, it doesn't return to the parent. It just ends when the breaking scenario ends. Okay, so that covers the basics of interrupting and breaking scenarios. And I think with that, Megana, we'll move over to you to see a demo of how to put that into practice.
Thank you, Adam. So now let's start with the demo of how to build interrupting and breaking scenario. Since we have our basic bot ready, we will have to build another two scenarios. So one for the interrupting scenario, one for the breaking scenario. So to start with an interrupting scenario, click on the new option. And we will have to fill in these fields with a name. I'm giving it as intermediate bot one for the interrupting scenario. And any relevant description will go. So since we will be collecting vitals of the patients for the interrupting scenario, I'm giving it as collection of vitals from the patients. And scenario ID is something that's very important. This is what is going to trigger the scenario to occur. And returning message is what is going to get displayed when the users are going to go back to the main scenario from the interrupting scenario. And for the interrupting scenario to run, we'll have to enable the interrupting scenario alone and not the breaking scenario. And then click on create. So now you can see that the interrupting scenario is getting created. And now we can see the four panels. This is the main one is the workspace where we'll be working on. And these are the steps that we'll be working with. So initially, let's drag a statement box. Here, we'll be using the statement box to display a message, greeting message for the users. So after the statement box, we'll be having a prompt box. A prompt box generally takes in a data from the users. It's an input kind of a box. So here, I'm asking them what their name is and giving the variable name as name. The variable name will later be used during the database connections. And we can also name the boxes based on our usage. So here I'm naming the boxes age because here I'll be collecting age from the users. And I'm asking them what is their age. Variable name will be age. And variable data type will be number because age will be given in number. So similarly, we'll be collecting other details as well, like height and weight. So here I'll be collecting height. And I'll ask them to mention their height in centimeters. And the variable name will be given as height as usual. And the variable data type will be a number. Then after height, we will be collecting weight. We will ask them to mention their weight and also change the name of the box from prompt to weight. So yes, after this, we'll be asking them to mention their weight in kgs. And we'll give the variable name as weight. The variable data type will also be number, since it's going to be collected in a numerical form. And after this, we'll just have a statement box thanking the users for giving their vitals. And we'll ask them to continue with the appointment procedure. Since this is an interrupting scenario, this particular scenario is going to go back and connect with the main scenario after the whole process is over. So this point is very important because this is the main difference between an interrupting and breaking scenario, like mentioned by Adam. And yeah, here we're asking them to continue with the appointment details and clicking on OK. In order to save this entire workspace, we'll have to click on Save in the left-hand side corner. And so this is the flow of our scenario. It's collecting all the details and thanking them. Click on Save, and then we can click on Exit. So it's getting created, and you can see that the intermediate bot one is ready. After this, we'll have to create a new bot for the breaking scenario. So again, click on New and do the same procedure. Give a name, a description, scenario ID, and returning messages. So here I'm using the name as intermediate bot two and giving a description of collecting temperature, because that is what we're going to do for the breaking scenario. And the scenario ID will be temperature, because this is the keyword that we'll be using to trigger the scenario, to get triggered. The returning message is going to be to start the procedure again, because breaking scenario does not return back to the main scenario. And here to start the breaking scenario, we'll have to enable both interrupting and breaking scenario and click on Create. So we're back to the same workspace like we saw before. Here we'll be using the statement box again in order to greet them and ask them if they want to check their temperature. So once we ask them to check the temperature, if they want to say yes or no, we'll be asking them to wait for some time. And after that, we'll be creating a new statement box and asking them and giving them all the temperature details. Here we'll be giving a dummy detail saying XYZ, your temperature is XYZ. So now, so what we simply did is ask them if they want to check the temperature and then wait it for some time and then gave them a dummy value of the temperature. And then we'll be asked. So if they say yes, then we'll be giving them a few choices. If they say no, then we'll be thanking them and we'll ask them to start the procedure again. Since this is a breaking scenario, we must note that the procedure is not going to return back to the main scenario, but it needs to be started all over again. And if they click on yes, then we will be asking them which vital that they want to check. And here the variable name will be vitals, because they're going to be checking that. And the variable data type will be choice, and we'll be giving them a few choices. That is the basic vitals, the height, weight, and some symptoms. This will be adding on later in the interrupting bot, which we created initially. So after this, we'll just have to place a statement box. So let's drag a statement box. And here we'll just give out a dummy value again, just like temperature. So we'll tell them your vitals is XYZ. And we will connect this particular statement box back to the yes or no branch, because we want to ask them till they finish the entire process, if they want anything else or not. And then after that, click on save and exit. Now you can see that we have both the bots ready, but in order to connect both the bots, we'll have to add a little more changes to the interrupting bot one, intermediate bot one, which is the interrupting bot. And here I'll just remove the connection between wait and thank you message. And let's add a branch. Here we'll ask them if they want to check their temperature or if they did get their temperature checked before coming. And if they haven't checked the temperature, they will have to check the temperature. And for that, they will be asked to go to the breaking scenario. So that's what we'll try to do over here. So if they click on no, firstly, we'll have to connect the wait box. And then if they click on no, what we'll ask them to do is to get their temperature checked and return to the main starting steps. So I'm asking them to get the temperature checked and start the important procedure all over again. But how will this happen? They'll have to enter the word temperature in order for the bot to get triggered, in order for the breaking scenario to get started. So here we will ask them to enter the temperature, word temperature, in the prompt box. Prompt box is something but an input box for the users. So we'll ask them to enter the word temperature. So here the variable data type will be string, because temperature is a string. So after this, on the yes side of the branch, if they have entered, if they have checked the temperature already, we will ask them to enter the temperature that they have checked or measured. So we're doing this in a prompt box because they'll have to enter a value and we'll have to take it in. So this will be a number. And after this, we'll again take a prompt box. Yes. And here we'll just give an additional situation, like why I've mentioned before. We'll ask them to take the symptoms because that's what we have mentioned in the breaking scenario, right? So we'll give them a few choices in the symptoms, like cold, cough, fever, vomitings, and body pains. So yes, we'll connect these two, and we'll connect the symptoms box to the thank you statement message box. And that's all with the changes that we need to do with the interrupting scenario. So let's just click on save and exit. So since the two scenarios are ready, what we need to do now is to create two models for both the scenarios. So under languages, click on models. And here you can see that there's no specific model for both the scenarios, interrupting and breaking scenarios. So we'll have to create new ones. So the name will be given as vitals. Description can also be vitals or vitals collection, anything relevant to what we have done in the interrupting scenario. And the method should be regex. And this is what the syntax is for the regular expressions. In the intent mapping, select vitals, and also in the drop-down box, select vitals, and click on create. And same with the breaking scenario as well. Similar procedure will be carried on, and the name is given as temperature, description as temperature. Method again will be regex, that is regular expression. And the syntax remains the same, except for that in the brackets, the word temperature is going to be, the word vitals is going to be replaced with temperature. In the intent mapping, it will be temperature, and again select temperature from the drop-down box because that is what the scenario ID was for the breaking scenario. So now the models are ready. Almost everything is ready. What we need to do now is to link these two scenarios to the main scenario. So how does the user go to the second interrupting scenario from the main scenario? So for that, we will have to ask them to enter the keyword, the scenario ID vitals. So for that, I'll just create a prompt box and I ask them to enter the word vitals. And the variable name will be string since vitals is a string. And I will keep place these prompt boxes just after the branching yes or side, so that they'll be asked to enter the vitals before they continue with the procedure further. So here as well, I'm repeating the same procedure. I'm naming them, naming the prompt boxes as vitals so we know what those are used for. So everything is ready now. Let's just check how this works. So click on run. So you can see that it's asking us to choose between services, departments, and more info. So click on services. And it should be asking us to check our vitals because that's what we have entered, a prompt box over there. So let's enter the word vitals since we haven't entered our vitals till now. So quickly enter vitals. And see, you can see that it has switched to the intermediate bot one, which is the interrupting scenario. It's asking us the name. And let me just quickly enter my vitals. Name, age, height, and weight. So yes, it's asking the exact same details that we had asked in the prompt boxes before in the interrupting scenario. And as you remember that in the interrupting scenario, we had kept a message asking the user if they have checked the temperature or not. This is in order to trigger the breaking scenario. So we will check if it works. So in order to check, we will have to click on no, and it has to ask us to enter the word temperature in order to go to the breaking scenario. So let's just enter temperature and let's see if it works. So I'm entering the word temperature, which is the scenario ID for the breaking scenario. So you can see that it has switched to the breaking scenario. Now we need to check if the breaking scenario is going to return back to the main scenario or not, which it shouldn't, but let's check. So you see it has ended with the breaking scenario. It has not started and gone back to the main scenario. So you can see that it's working perfectly fine, and that's how you build interrupting and breaking scenario. Now back to Adam.
Thanks, Megan. That was really great. So I think it's a good time for a knowledge check and see that we understood everything that Megan just showed us. Now, the knowledge check is also available online at aka.ms/learnlivetv. We'll be polling the audience to see what you think the answers are to the questions. So I encourage you to log in And we'd really like to hear what you think the answers are. So let's move on to the first question. So question number one, what is the main difference between an interrupting scenario and a breaking scenario? Is it A, they're almost the same, we get the same results? Is it B, a breaking scenario breaks from the current flow and returns, whereas an interrupting scenario doesn't return? Or is it C, an interrupting scenario breaks from the current flow and returns, whereas a breaking scenario doesn't return? What do you think, Magana?
Okay, so let's get this option wise. So the first option, they're all the same. So definitely they're not the same because we did build two different scenarios for both of them. And there was this difference in them. And option B, breaking scenario breaks from the current flow and returns. No, I don't think that's right because breaking scenario does not return to the main scenario, like I said in the demo. And let's go to option C. Interrupting scenario breaks from the current flow and returns, and whereas breaking scenario doesn't. I think this is the correct option. Option C should be correct because interrupting scenario does return and breaking scenario does not return to the main scenario. I go with option C.
That sounds also right to me. Let's have a look and see what the right answer is. Yeah, it's indeed C. Good job. Let's move on to question number two. So how does an interrupting scenario work? Is it A, when the user finishes running a bot, the interrupting scenario is automatically invoked? Is it B, when the user triggers an interrupting intent with their input, the interrupting scenario is invoked? Or is it C, when the user interrupts the current bot by saying stop, the interrupting scenario is invoked?
Okay, so let's eliminate the obvious options first. So the word interrupting scenario means it's going to interrupt something. So it would not let the bot finish its whole procedure. So I don't think option A is right. And then let's go to option C, when the user interrupts the current bot by saying stop. So I don't think there's any option to say stop. So I don't think option C is right either. And when the user triggers an interrupting intent with their input, the interrupting scenario is invoked. That's right, because the keyword or the scenario ID is what is going to trigger the interrupting scenario. So I think it's option B. So let's see what others say.
Yeah, that also sounds right. So the interrupting mechanism is invoked when there is a intent that's recognized by the bot. And that is indeed aligned with answer number B. So good job. Okay, and one last question before we continue to the next module. Which of the following needs to be unique? Is it A, the returning message, B, the description, or C, the scenario ID?
Okay, so the returning message, I don't think it needs to be unique because two different scenarios can return the same message saying thank you. And the description can also be same because what if you just build two scenarios having the same usage? And I think the scenario ID definitely needs to be different in order to get triggered. So yes, I think it's option C, scenario ID.
That sounds right. Well done. So let's summarize everything that we've just covered in this module. So basically, we've demonstrated how to create and also how to use interrupting and breaking scenarios. You can think of interrupting scenarios as a temporary change of context or a switch to another scenario that when it's complete, it then returns back to the main scenario or the previous scenario that triggered it. A breaking scenario is really just an extension of that. It also switches and changes context, except the difference is that it doesn't return to the previous scenario where it was triggered. And with that, we'll move on to module number 7. And again, just a reminder, these modules are all available on the Microsoft Learn website. And we'll be following along with that content. I do encourage you that after we finish this session to go online and do the modules yourself so that they will help you put everything into practice and just reinforce your learning. So you can find this module at aka.ms/learn-healthbot07. So what are the learning objectives for this module? Well, we will learn how to integrate HealthBot with external systems, for example, a database. And in particular, we'll be putting that into practice by creating a database using Azure SQL databases And we'll also integrate HealthBot with that database by using an Azure Logic app. So HealthBot is a very extensible, customizable and extensible platform. And so it's easily integrated with external systems and third APIs. Until this point, the bots that we've been creating, all the scenarios have really kind of run in isolation. They weren't integrated, or they didn't pull any data or send any data to any other systems. Now, typically a healthcare organization, they would like to integrate data from their own systems. They usually will have data in an EMR, so a medical record management system for their patients, or some other kind of storage. Where they'll be managing all their data. Maybe they'll have appointments data that they'll want to integrate with. But the idea is that when you do that integration, the data can collect that information from the patient. And then once it's stored and persisted, it can then be available, for example, if that patient returns to HealthBot and you want to maybe personalize the flow for them, or for example, if you want to pass that information onto the clinical people so that they have context as that patient continues down their care path. You might want, you know, patients to be able to pull a list of scheduled appointments that they have using the HealthBot, or you might want them to be able to pull their medical history, or maybe see the results to some lab tests that they performed. And that can only happen when you integrate HealthBot with APIs and with data sources so that you can bring that information into the flow of the scenarios that you're creating. So that there are many options. Like I mentioned, you can integrate with an EMR, or you can just integrate with a database. It's very common to use HealthBot with a FHIR database, such as the Azure API for FHIR, which can store you know, clinical resources in a kind of a structured format that's easily interoperable, so that that data can be easily transferred to other storage, to other organizations. Today, what we'll be seeing is a very kind of simple example to get you started, and we'll be integrating HealthBot with an SQL database to kind of illustrate these concepts. So the typical architecture when you're creating this is that you'll have the Azure HealthBot on one side making the request. On the other side, you'll have some kind of storage. So in this case, it'll be an SQL server and an SQL database. And then in between them, you'll have some kind of API layer, an application layer that'll be exposing the API that you'll use to store the data. In this case, an easy way to achieve that is to use an Azure Logic app, which has a native, which has a connector to SQL Server, so it makes it very easy to do. And that's what we'll be seeing today. So with that, I will hand over to Shreya, who will show us a demo of exactly how to do that. Thanks, Shreya.
Thank you, Adam. So without much delay, let's dive into the creation of this. And to do that, I'll go to Microsoft Azure portal and then create a new SQL database. So here I'm selecting the database and giving a resource group. Give a suitable resource group because this holds all your particular resources that you create for a particular project. And I've created a new resource group. Now the next step is to create a new server. So I'll be creating a new server. The server name is, let's say, HealthBot1. And then the server admin login will be, let's say, HealthBot1 again. Okay, then give a suitable password. This is very important for our future steps. We'll be using it in many places. So give a suitable password. And then again, I'm confirming my password and then the deployment region. So I'll let it be East US and then click on OK. Once that is done, we'll have to give a new database name as well. So I'll give it, let's say, HealthBot. Yeah, I'm giving it HealthBot. You can give any other name you want. Since I'm working with HealthBot, I'm giving HealthBot here. And then SQL Elastic Pool will be no. And then you can choose the particular pricing that you want, the particular configuration that you want. So since it's a demo thing here, I'm choosing a minimal one. So I'm okay with 500 MB of space. And then I can see the pricing there as well. Now, after that, I'll have to go through the other features, what are there, and then after that, let me just leave them to default, and I'll just create my database here, and it will take some time to deploy the database. Its deployment is under progress. So once it's deployed, you can see the checkboxes there in green color that telling that those many resources are already provisioned for us from Azure. Yes, so once you create, you can go to the resource, and this is how your basic database resource looks like. Now, let's set the firewall because it will not allow us to log in through any IP. Let's say you're using 2 to 3 systems in your home, right? So in that case, or in your office or in your organization, in that case, they might have a small variation in the IP. So even in that case, you cannot log in to your database. So I'm giving, let's say this is a demo, and that's why I'll give it to all. And that is 0.0.0.0 all the way to 255.255.255.255. And then I'll allow all the Azure services to access the server, and then I'll click on save. So once it is saved, I can see that my settings are updated. And now the next thing is to create a query. To do that, I'll use the query editor window that's on the overview portal. And then here I'll have to log in using the same credentials as I did, as I created earlier. So this is how a query editor window looks like. And this is where I'll put in my query. So let's put a simple basic query to create a new table with all the parameters that we have. So this is the query, and you can see that query has succeeded. The messages below shows us that. And now let's visualize this table, whether it is created or not. To do this, again, I'll head over to my Azure portal, and there is a drop down of Azure Data Studio. You can click on that and you'll be asked to install if you have not. So once you have done that, all you can see is this portal here, SQL query. And you have to connect your database here using the same SQL login credentials that we created, that is the SQL Server credentials. So I'll type in the same thing here. There are many other ways, but I'll be using SQL login here. And then the database name will be automatically in the dropdown here. And once that is done, you can click on connect. So upon clicking connect, now let's see whether our table is created or not. So you can see it under servers, and clicking on that, you can see the table here, dbo.vitals. Yeah, so let's see, let's run a query and see whether it is still there. What is there in the table? What are the parameters that we gave? Are they there or not? To do this, you can just expand that tables drop down and click on a new query. So I'll just give select all from my table name, that is vitals. So as we can see, our table is here. So now the next thing is to create an API here. Logic App gives us that particular power here to create the API. API is very necessary in order to connect anything to the backend here. So I'll be using the Logic App. To do that, again, go and create a new resource. This time it will be Logic App. So once you see that in the marketplace, you can see the Logic App is there and click on create. And here you can input all the details again, the resource group and the type. I'll keep it to standard and then use the same resource group preferably that we had created earlier, and then the deployment region. And yes, I guess we can, yeah, and we are good to go. So after this, the next thing is you can leave all these things to default, and then you can directly check the pricing tier and what are the features particular pricing tier offers. And after this, we can click on review plus create. Once validation is successful, just check that it's Node 12 JS LTS, and then click on create. Again, it'll take some time for deployment. So once it's deployed, you can see the green checkboxes and the resources provisioned for us. And you can click on go to your particular resource. And this is our Logic App resource. And here you can see all the options on the top. So today, since I'm creating APIs, I'm very much concerned with the workflow. So I'll go to the workflows window. And then once it loads, you can click on add. And then here you can give the workflow name. Since it's a post one, the first one will be the post. So I'm giving HealthPod post, and let it be stateful, and click on create. So it'll take some time to create. Once that's created, you can see your new workflow created, health bot post. So going into the workflow, you can see this window as shown, and you can either use the code method if you want to code your own thing, or you can go ahead with the low code platform that's a designer. So I'll go ahead with the designer today. So this is how the code looks like, and this is how the designer looks like. And once this is done, now we'll have to choose the operations that we're supposed to do. The first one, the first operation here I'll be doing is when a HTTP is triggered. So whenever our health bot receives any response, it should trigger a HTTP method, and then that should reach the database. So to do this, we'll have to drag the HTTP response. So there is a connector called when a HTTP is received. So just search for the connector. And you can scroll down here. You can find it. If you cannot find this, type HTTP, and then you can find all the HTTP connectors that are available. So here there is one, the request when a HTTP is received, right? So when a HTTP request is issued, what should I do? So let's just give the payload, the JSON schema payload. To do this, you can generate one with your JSON payload. So just type in your JSON, whatever is there. Let's say name, I'll give my name. And then the other parameters that are there in a particular database, I'll just give them. So once I click on done, and as you can see, the JSON schema is generated for us. And then the next thing is to add a parameter, and this is the post method. So click on method and choose the method of post. Okay, once that is done, you have to click on save. Leave the rest things to default, and you can click on save. So once it's saved, you can see the HTTP post URL being generated for us. The next step is to insert this particular entry that we have got from the health bot into the SQL database. So to do this, we'll have to choose this connector called insert a row V2. This is a connector from SQL option that Azure provides us. So we'll go to the Azure. If you cannot find it on the built-in, it will be there in the Azure section here. So here it is, insert a row V2. Now we'll have to give all the connection name. Connection name can be anything, give a connection name. And let me just open my SQL portal in the background. So once that is done, I can give my connection name here. And authentication type, again, I'll use the login ID, SQL Server Authentication. So given the same server name, you can find it from your Azure portal. So you can just copy paste the things back so that you don't have any typos, because if you have any typos, then probably there might be an error. So to do that, I'll just copy paste it. Now all the other username, passwords, and then the gateway, I'll click on create. Once that is done, choose a server name that you have, and the name of the table will be in the drop down. And now add this dynamic contents here, the name, age, weight, height, and the column date time. Yes, so there is add dynamic content, and you can select all the dynamic contents here. And after this, the final one uses a specific function called get future time. We'll have to use that particular function, get future time of 0, day. 0 stands for current time, and day stands for the current day. So let me just give this and click on OK. So once this is done, the final one is to see whether it is recorded or not. This will be done by HTTP response block, and 200 is a success message, and just the body will be, let's say, success. So once this is done, I'll click on save. This is my whole workflow. In short, this is my whole API. So for the post method, so I'll just click on save. Once the workflow is saved, you can go back to the overview window here and just run the trigger to make sure that your workflow is successfully working or not. You can run it with payload, you can run it without payload. Here I'll run it without payload. So let me visualize it again on my Azure Data Studio. So select all from vitals. I should see null, null, null everywhere. So now this is now the same way we'll create a new API, a new workflow for the get API, and the same steps are followed, except the fact that the first connector that we use will have the method of get and not post. And after this, we can go ahead to the next one. That is, now what we are supposed to do is we are supposed to get the latest entry from our SQL table. So to do this, again, I'll have to insert this particular block which actually executes a query for me. And again, it's in the V2 version. So please make sure that you select the V2 version. And if you cannot find it in built-in, click on Azure and you can find it there. So execute a SQL query. And so I'll give in all the parameters here, the SQL server name, the database name, and all the other things that it needs. And now again, the parameters here. It will be query this time. We'll have to write a simple SQL query, which fetches the latest entry from the database. So this is the query that I'm giving. Select all from vitals, where column date time is equal to select of max of column date time from, again, my table name vitals. So once this is done, now at times it might ask you for the connection strings as well. To do this, you'll have to go back to your SQL database that you've created on Azure, and then you can get this ado.net from the connection strings only if it asks you. So once that is done, we can finally get the response block here. In this response block, we'll have to this time give a payload because it is returning you something back, right? So I'll give query results. So it will give me back the query results in the form of a JSON format. So this will have all the things that it has fetched from the database. So once this is done, we are done with the API creation here. So the next step is on the HealthBot portal. So we'll switch to the HealthBot portal, and this is the block that we, so this is the bot that we created a while ago. And this is the Data Connect call that I'll be using. And the first method I'll be using here is the post. So make sure that you select HTTP methods of post, and then the content type will be raw. The base URL here is a little bit tricky to copy. So go back to your first workflow that you created, that is the post workflow. There's a workflow URL, copy it into a notepad, copy the whole workflow. And then now, as you can see, net-443, till there will be the first part, that is the base URL. And from there will be my path. So divide it properly and paste it into the base URL. And after that, there is a path, and the rest of the part of your URL will be the path. So copy that and again paste it carefully. And the query parameters, I'll leave it to empty, and there's nothing in the headers, but there's a payload for sure. So let me write the payload here. It is name scenario.name, because HealthBot uses this convention of calling anything by the method scenario dot of the variable name. So once that is done, the next step is to connect the block and then get the new block, that is the get method API. So to do this, let me just arrange the whole thing. Okay, so this is done. Now the next thing is to, let's say there are three particular nodes here. So one node stands for error if there is any failure in this particular block execution. So to do that, let's just notify the user, and I'll simply drag a statement block and the log error, sorry, the data was not logged. So let me connect it. Once it is done, let me connect it carefully. And yes, there you go. This is the first thing. So now our bot has the capability to post anything from this portal, what the user enters, to the database. Now the next thing is to get it from the database back to the portal. To do this, we'll use the get API, get method. Now again, the same procedure, the base URL and the path, copy and do that carefully as shown before. Again, the display block, this is the final block I'll be using. After this, the user will be greeted, and whatever the next procedure is, that will be told. So there is a specific type of response that this particular get API gives us. I'll show that to you in a while, but for now, let me just write the code that it expects. Scenario.request.resultSets and that particular thing. So I'll tell you why I wrote it in a while. Now, after doing this, you can just click on save. This thing is complete here. So now let me just click on save and run. Let me just test the bot once. So hello, it's asking me for my details now. I'll give in my name, Shreyan, and my age. And then there is the height. And then there is the age. And now this is taking some time to post the particular data that we just gave to the database. Once that is done, it will move on to the next block and it will ask you for the temperature. So click on yes, because I want to go through the get method as well. So I'll click on yes, and let's say I'll have some, what's it called? And then now it will give me back the response. And now I can see that it has fetched it back from the database because I've checked in with a particular date and time. So now let's see why I wrote that particular code in the last section. Now, if you go to the watch window, you can see a particular dropdown here and vitals, and then go to the request, because the request is the variable name that I'd given, and table one, and then the whole array. If you see the path, it's coming from request, result sets, and then table one, and then comes this particular array or the JSON format that it is fetching. And that is the reason why I have written $scenario.requestName and other parameters like that. So dollar is basically for inclusion. So this is how you connect your bot to the particular SQL database that you have already, or you can create one. So over to Adam.
Thanks, Shreya. Yeah, the data connections in HealthBot are very powerful, and it's great to see end-to-end how you can use those to connect with the database. So whilst you were doing that demo, there was one question in the chat. It's a question about storing custom feedback in the HealthBot feedback panel. So that is absolutely possible. You don't have to store it in an external database. You can store information within the built-in storage that HealthBot provides, in particular the feedback storage. The way to do that is within your scenario, you can add what's called an action step. Action steps allow you to write scripts and JavaScript code. And there are built-in functions. And in particular, there's a function for saving the feedback. So if you type session dot save feedback, and then you can pass within the parameters for that function, you can pass any kind of feedback, any kind of content that you want to store in that panel, and that'll get stored within the HealthBot feedback. So that's absolutely possible. Just the key is to use that built-in function, session dot save feedback. Great, and with that, we'll move on to the knowledge check for this module. And again, just a reminder, these knowledge checks are online, and we're polling the audience live. So if you want to participate, just go to aka.ms/learnlivetv. All right, so the first question. To connect to healthcare bot and a database, three components are required. Is it A, an Azure Health Bot, an SQL server and database and Kubernetes? Is it B, Logic Apps, Azure Health Bot, SQL server and database? Or is it C, an SQL server and database, a virtual machine, and Azure Health Bot?
Okay, so let's just go by eliminating the incorrect options, or what I feel is incorrect. So the first one, let's go to C, SQL Server, SQL Database, Virtual Machine, and Azure Health Bot. So I don't think virtual machines can be used in this particular application. Then the A, Azure Health Bot, SQL Server, SQL Database, and Kubernetes. This is really a whole different thing. The Kubernetes is a whole different thing, and it is not particularly best fit for this particular application that we are designing. So I think it should be B, Logic Apps, Azure Health Bot, SQL Server, and SQL Database.
Okay, and let's see if you're right. And indeed, it is B. Well done. All right, and one more question. So to insert a new row into the database, which methods did we use? Was it A, a get method, B, a got method, or C, was it a post method?
Okay, so I don't think it is get, because get is something that, again, as it says, it is getting something to us. So it is not inserting anything. Insert is getting things. Got, I haven't heard except for a web series. I think it should be C, post.
I think whoever wrote the answers to these questions might have been a Game of Thrones fan, but I think you're right. The answer is C. Let's check. Yeah, indeed, it's C. It's a pose method. Well done. So let's summarize what we've learned in this module. So what we saw in the demo was how to use a data connection in HealthBot to integrate with an SQL server in Azure. That was just an example. We can actually integrate Azure HealthBot with any API, any external system, such as the Azure API for Fire or an EMR. We initially used the data connection to make a POST request to insert data into that database, and then we subsequently made another data connection to retrieve data from the database. So then we saw the integration in both directions. And with that, we will move on to the third and final module for this session. This is module number 8. And again, these modules are all available at Microsoft Learn. I encourage you after this session to go to the module and to complete the same content that we'll be showing you now. So it'll just help you reinforce what we're covering and also to just get that hands-on practice. And you can find that at aka.ms/learn-healthbot08. So what are the learning objectives for this session? So firstly, we'll learn all about the channels available on the Azure HealthBot platform. And then in particular, we'll see how to make a bot available on Teams, how to connect to the Teams channel, and also how to build a basic app, a Teams app, for that healthcare bot. So just a few words about the channels in Azure HealthBot. HealthBot can connect with multiple channels. There are many, many options. There are essentially, I guess, two ways that you can connect. So one is you can use some out-of-the-box connectors that exist. So they exist for very popular channels such as Microsoft Teams, also third-party channels such as Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, Alexa, and many, many more. That's probably the first and the easiest way is to use those built-in connectors. The other way is you can also build your own custom channels or your own native mobile app or a web chat, for example, and you can then integrate with your HealthBot over the Direct Line Messaging API. And when it comes to the web chat option, we also provide, or Microsoft provides, code samples so that you can be very easy to set up some of these options. So really, HealthBot is agnostic to the channel. You can really have anything on the front end, any kind of web chat application or messaging application on the front end, whether it's voice or text. They're all great options to connect with HealthBot on the back end. So with that, we'll move on to a demo that Megan and Shreyan will show us jointly of how to connect HealthBot with Teams. Over to you guys.
Thank you, Adam. So let's quickly start the demo on how to connect our HealthBot to a channel. So here we'll be using Microsoft Teams. So since all three scenarios are ready, that is the basic bot, the interrupting scenario, and the breaking scenario, we will just have to connect one of them to the channel. So let's just check what kind of a message are we going to receive in the channel. So we must receive a message saying, hello, how can I help you, with some choices. So let's quickly exit and check if that is what is happening. So first, in order to connect, we will have to go to channels under integration. So click on channels. In channels, you can see that Microsoft Teams is disabled so as of now. So let's enable it and copy the bot ID and click on save. This will enable the Microsoft Teams. So yeah, now let's go check in Microsoft Teams if it's working. So I'll paste the bot ID that I have copied before. You can see that healthcare is seen now. So I'll just enter hello to the chatbot. So we can see that we have received a message, but that's not the message we were looking for. We were looking for, hello, how can I help you, along with some choices. So there is something wrong in our settings. So let's quickly go back to our Microsoft, to our portal and check what's wrong. So let's go to models, and we'll have to go to the greetings model. So here you can see the greetings model. Click on edit. You can see that the greetings model is going to an inbuilt greetings scenario. That's not why we have to go. So we'll have to click on bot one, which is our scenario ID for the main bot. So that's what is going to take the channel to the main bot of our healthcare scenario. So now let's enter the word hello to the chat box and let's see where it goes. So yes, now it has received the message what we were looking for. Hello, how can I help you, along with some choices? So let's click on services. And now it's asking us to enter the word vitals. So since we haven't entered the vitals so far, let's just enter our vitals quickly. I'll just enter my name, age, height, and weight. So here also you can see that it has switched to in the interrupting scenario. And yes, the height and weight, yes. So now, even though it hasn't logged the data because the database is currently turned off, now it has gone back to the main scenario, like how our interrupting scenario works. And since we have already entered our vitals, we'll just enter NA, and it's asking us for the further options. So now you can see that our channel is working perfectly. Now, Shreyan will take over and explain you guys how to create an app and publish it.
Thank you, Meghana. Okay, so now there might be a question, why do we actually need an app when we have the direct ID? We cannot share the ID with everyone. So that is the reason why I'm showing you to, I'm demoing this particular thing. So let's now dive into how to create. So open your Microsoft Teams platform, and here you can just search for App Studio by going into your apps. So here it is, this is my App Studio. Clicking on that, I can see the manifest editor. So in the manifest editor, create a new app. Click on that particular option. So once you click on that, you can see all these details, the app details you'll have to fill. So, and there are some subsections on your left-hand side as well. So let me quickly fill all these details. These are specific to your particular project that you're building or particular application that you're using. So I'll just give something here. And to click on this particular identification ID, you have to click on that generate button. It will generate a new ID for you. And then you can just continue on by giving the app package name and then the version and then description of what your bot does, a little bit of description of what is actually built for or something like that. And then the developer information, who's developing it. It's about that and the website. I'll use github.com here for the sake of demo, and Contoso is the name. And here I can give an icon to my whole application. So I'll choose the healthcare bot icon. And now it is, I have to connect my bot. This is the main and the crucial step. So since I've created my bot, I'll click on existing bot and copy and paste the same ID that we used a while ago. And then click on that particular two checkboxes in the bottom, personal and team. Now, if you don't know where to get the ID from, again, back to the Azure portal, the Azure Health Bot portal. And here in the integration, go to channels. Then here you can see all the channels that are available. I'll use the Microsoft Teams. So let me just disable once and enable it. So I'll get a new ID. So here is my ID. Click on that copy icon on the right side and you can click on view, click on copy, and then that will be copied to your clipboard. Now go back to your Teams studio, the App Studio, and then click on paste. So after that is done, our bot is now successfully connected. So we have finished our bot here. Now, just to make sure that, where do you publish it or any other corrections that you want to make, any connectors that you want to give, you can go ahead and choose here and any languages as well. I'll leave it to default, domains and permissions. You can also have the Azure Active Directory app ID logged here. That is a better option because it will enhance the security. And then this is the final way. This is where you can install, download, or publish your bot. So this is how you build a basic bot around the same ID. So back to Adam.
Thanks, guys. So let's move on to the final knowledge check. And again, this knowledge check is available at ak.ms/learnlivetv. So please log in and join in and answer the questions. So, Meghana, I think I'll ask you the first question. So how can we connect the health bot to Microsoft Teams? Or what do we need? Do we need APIs? B, do we need the bot ID? Or C, do we need sign-in credentials?
Okay, so let's eliminate the options and then get to the correct answer. So I don't think we used any API for connecting the bot to the channel. So I don't think option A is right. And we haven't used any login credentials in our demo. And yeah, the only thing we copied and pasted in the channel's Microsoft Teams was the bot ID. So I think option B should be the right answer.
Yeah, that sounds right. And indeed it is. And Trey, why don't you take this next question? In which section do you upload an icon for the bot? So that, I guess that's in Teams, right? Is it in the finish section? Is it B, the capability section? Or is it C, in the details section?
Okay, let's eliminate the incorrect options here, firstly. I'll start from A. Finish is actually the final step, the last step. This is where we actually install, publish, or download our bot. So I don't think we can upload an icon there. And the capability section is just to link a particular bot. So again, I don't think we can upload any icon there. So the 192 by 192 icon, I think, can be uploaded in the details section, option C.
Right. Yeah, and that is also right. So well done, guys. So let's summarize this final module. So here we really learn, firstly, that HealthBot can interface with many different channels, but in particular, how to interface your bot with Teams and how to publish that as a Teams app. So we saw how or where to find the unique bot ID from the Azure HealthBot service and how to use that ID to trigger that bot in Teams, and then how to design an app using App Studio in the Microsoft Teams to wrap the bot in an application. And with that, that brings us to the end of this session, third part in our four-part series on Azure HealthBot. If there are any questions, so we'll be answering those now. So feel free to log in line on the chat and post your questions. Okay, so it looks like we don't have any questions today. Maybe there is one question. Questions about how to get started with Azure HealthBot and whether or not an Azure account is needed to get started. So I'll start with the second one. The second point, yes, you do need an Azure account to get started with HealthBot. You can sign up for a free trial and you can go to azure.com to get started. Once you have an Azure account, then what you need to do is log into the Azure portal. And if you search or use the global search in the Azure portal, you can search for Azure HealthBot. That'll bring up the Azure HealthBot service, and from there you can create a new resource. There is a free version of Azure HealthBot, so you can practice and get hands-on experience with everything that we've shown you today without any cost at all. And once you've created that resource, it'll provide you a link to the management portal where you can access all the tools that we've seen. And we have one other question. Is it possible to have a multi-select drop-down in HealthBot? Absolutely. We support many types of different types of prompts. So a multi-select is one option, but it could be a single select, it could be a text response, it could be a numeric response. And when you create the prompt, you'll see that one of the properties there is to choose the response type. Those are for the kind of the built-in prompts. And if you want another option, you can also use adaptive cards. So we support the adaptive card syntax. You can get more information on the Adaptive Cards website about that and kind of how to support those syntax. But anything that you can do in an Adaptive Card, you can add to a prompt in Azure HealthBot as well. Okay, it looks like that was the last of the questions. So again, I want to thank everybody that's been watching at home, and Shren and Magella, thanks to you guys as well for helping us and demoing everything. You've done a great job. Just a reminder that we do have one other part in this four-part series. So the next session will be all about showcasing how Azure HealthBot is and being used by customers and different use cases and different organizations. And that is all. Thank you very much, guys.